The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Pure Rock Radio. Feed your addiction. Yeah!
Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memory of Richard Earhart.
What's up, metalheads of Winnipeg, Manitoba, and around the world? This is Jason Kaiser, vocalist of Origin, and you are listening to Radioactive Metal.
To Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Back in Time episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 554, and I'm Snowy White.
And I'm Corrine.
Hey, brah, what's going on?
Hey. I haven't been on in a while, but here I am.
Actually, yeah, you're right. It has been a while, but that's really cool. I'm so glad that, you know, you've made your way up to joining me tonight. Yeah, unfortunately, it is just going to be you and I, but hey, we've done this before.
We have. I can say unfortunate like it's a bad thing.
We know the drill. We know the drill. As a matter of fact, out of the four of us, you and I have been on this show the longest, so
we really have. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, so
it's because you like Mrs. Snow, you just haven't killed me yet.
No, not yet.
but it's going to be a good time. We got a kick-ass creature feature that we're going to get to because, as I mentioned, I believe last episode, the Manitoba Metal Fest came through and there was a kick-ass lineup of international touring bands and all that that's giving us a lot of material for the next couple episodes. So we're going to get on with it soon enough, but before we do that, I wanted to say this episode is brought to you by True Cult Coffee. Or I should say True Cobalt Coffee. TRVEKVLT Coffee.com. You know, just it's a wicked product. You know, like I'm a big coffee drinker. I've got a steaming cup of it right now in my Motorhead mug as we speak, which some people might say, Snowy, that's blasphemy. You know, like, the only thing you should have in your Motorhead mug, you know, is a Lemmy. But, hey, you know, it's True Cobalt Coffee. They are welcome absolutely everywhere because it is a very metal product made by metalheads for metalheads. And all that, yeah. So you're going to want to check it out, TrueCobaltCoffee.com. And as well, before we go any further, I do unfortunately have an announcement to make. Just a couple days ago, as we speak, I lost a member of my family. My Uncle Richard passed away, natural causes, and he was getting up there in age, so... Yeah, it's just one of those things, and unfortunately, you know, in the world, this is what happens. We're all mortal, and, you know, every once in a while, stuff like this kind of reminds you of that. But what I want to do, Crane, if you don't mind, like, kind of to pay tribute to this fine man. His grandson, Madison Earhart, was, or is, the vocalist of a band that we've had on the show in the Indie Spotlight called St. Vitus from Saskatchewan. And I think it would be kind of appropriate before we go any further if we were to drop one of their tracks in memoriam. So this is Saskatchewan's St. Vitus with No Apology.
Yeah. And what have we been up to this week? Find out in our Metal Fix.
Okay, brah, what you got?
Oh, you know, this past week, I went and saw, me and Mr. Kareem went and saw the band Oakley Dokley.
Really?
Yeah, the only Netterific Nandarino band around. It was really, really cool, and it was sold out, and it was pretty Netterific. And it was everything you could possibly think it would be and more.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Like, and anyone who isn't familiar, these are basically like five guys that are dressing up like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And thus the Oakley Dokley, you know.
It was great. They threw a giant blow up donut into the crowd and are like, destroy this donut. And we're like, yeah. Dude, they take this giant floatable Homer Simpson donut and they toss it into the crowd, and everybody's just like pulling on it and tugging it and popping it, and then they throw it back on stage and the guy's wearing it. And then at the very end of his set, it was so great, he said, well, we have to do a costume change, we'll be right back, Netterinos. And so he undresses and he's doing that famous Ned quote, it feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Oh.
And the whole song was about being like naked and feeling like he's wearing nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing stupid at all. Sexy Flanders.
Yeah. It was great. Oh my God, totally worth the $10 to go see them.
Right on. And I imagine it's nothing like you've seen before. Like, yeah, there's gimmick bands and all that, but this is definitely one on their own. Wow.
Yeah, like Psycho Stick was pretty great, but mm-hmm. Ned and the Oakley Dokleys were definitely pretty great. Like, they were pretty interactive with the crowd, and it was not a boring show at all.
Right. Did you get some pics?
I did. I haven't uploaded any of them yet, except for the Oakley Dokley drumhead, which I use a fisheye lens.
Oh, okay.
And the drummer actually reached out to me on Instagram.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think his name is Ben Ned. They all have like Nettarino names, so it's like Ben Reno.
Okay.
Something like that, but yeah, so I sent him the picture, and who knows what he'll do with it, but yours truly took that photo. You'll see it.
Cool. right on. Yeah, that's
they might be a future guest on the show.
Hopefully. Like I said, they have been on my radar for a while now, and that's like, oh, The Simpsons is just huge with Mrs. Snowy and Little Snowy and all that. So it's, yeah, it's definitely, I hope they make their way up around here. For sure. That would be one of those shows that, like, the three of us, just as a family, goes and checks out. We don't
That's
really get
awesome.
To do that very much. Yeah. What else got?
That's pretty much it. I did, because I haven't been on the show in a while, I have been to different other shows. Like, I saw Aborted. Which, right. That guy, holy fuck. I think his name is Sven.
Sven.
Yep. Please forgive me, because his name is really hard to pronounce. But, trying to photograph him was the hardest thing. That dude was like, I don't know, he was all over the place, jumping and doing crazy aborted things that wow.
Would, yeah, like, they're intense. Yeah.
Yeah, intense is, I don't even know if that's the word to use. Like, it is more than intense. Like, you're like, oh my God, if you were a child, you would like have ADHD and you just don't stop and I can't keep up with you. Like, all the pictures I took, like, I got a couple good ones. Most of the pictures I did take, the pictures came out so blurred because of how fast this guy was moving.
Right. Well, that in itself, the blur and all that, that in itself tells a story. Because you can put those pictures up on our Instagram or whatever, and wherever else you want to put it, and say, if these look blurry, it's because of this, and that itself tells a story. So, hey.
That's true. And, you know, I did get to see Hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw those guys. They haven't toured in such a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while since they're up here.
Yeah, I got some pretty cool shots of them. And then I also saw Cryptopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are very humble. They were actually having an after party. And I missed... This is the second time I've missed going to an after party. Because, one, it's on a fucking Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have the energy after working all day to go to an after party. And then go to work at... Get up and go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, nah, I gotta skip this one.
Sometimes I guess you gotta make the sacrifice. Yeah. Well, this would be a good time to remind our listeners, if you're tuning in for the first time, radioactivemetal.org. Check out, since you're talking about Hypocrisy, check out last week's episode where we had an interview with Flesh God Apocalypse on that same tour and all that. So, yeah.
Yeah, they were so great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they actually, you know, they used my photo on Twitter.
Oh, right on.
They retweeted it. Yeah, I woke up one morning, because I came through, like, I think a month ago, March. I woke up and I was like, what are these notifications? Like, I have a lot of notifications. And it was Flesh God Apocalypse retweeting. And then I had all of their fans liking and retweeting the photo. I was like, oh, yes, this is so fucking cool. Way to go, me.
For sure. Right on. Well, yeah. For me, I did pretty good on the live front as well. We kicked off the weekend sort of at a birthday party / live show. Travis Nolet up here in Winnipeg. The guy's a punk rock drummer, and he's in 800 awesome bands, including one of my favorite bands, regardless of stature or anything. He's the drummer for Your Mom. As I've gone on about that band and all that. Well, it was his birthday just a couple days ago. And the birthday party in honor and in celebration of him, show was booked at the Bulldog Event Center. And he played in just a whole bunch of his bands and all that. So it was basically a free show. You know, show up, eat lots of pizza, drink lots of beer, have a good time, and watch him play. Yeah, play in a bunch of bands. Now, what I did for his birthday is, he's a really big skateboarder. Okay, so, you know, we were going to connect with that. So what I did is I went out and I bought him the latest issue of Thrasher magazine. And where I buy my magazines, the clerk has this way of neatly wrapping it up with, you know, with a paper bag and taping it together. It's almost like it's gift wrapped. It really looks that way. So I took that to the venue and a pen, and I got as many of the people as I could possibly find, you know, as people were walking in. I'd walk up, hey, this is for Travis, can you sign it? You know, just wish him a happy birthday or whatever. And I got most of the front signed and some of the back and all that. So had a good time with that. And then halfway through Your Mom's set, they said, if anyone has some presents here, like, now was a good time, you know, to set them up and all that. So, yeah, maybe I got one. Ran up on stage and, you know, I explained to the audience exactly, okay, this is the thing you guys have all been signing as you walked in and all that, and Travis is going to open it up, and he did, and he was so stoked. You know, maybe, because that's the thing about me. I buy my friends two things Liquor and magazines. Uh-huh. Like, my friends know, okay, if it's a birthday or whatever, Snowy's going to end up, you know, buying you a drink. And the latest issue of mostly Decibel, mostly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had to go with that. So that was a lot of fun. And you will be happy to know that the very first signing on Travis's present was happy birthday from everyone at Radioactive Metal. So there you go. There you go. Speaking of magazines, you know, and I grabbed a copy of Thrasher myself, and now it's a skateboarder magazine, but there's, you know, there's music sections in the back, and this particular, the latest episode that I know, it might have changed, you know, like in the US or wherever, but the latest issue had a really cool interview with Vancouver Stoner's Dope Throne, which they are going to be coming to Winnipeg very soon, courtesy of Ninja Cat Records. I'm so excited for that as well. I grabbed the new Decibel magazine, Corrine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, see, we still haven't let that go.
Yeah.
Even though it's just you and I. I'm actually going to do you one better. Not only did I get the new Decibel, but if you haven't seen it yet, on the cover for what I know to be the latest issue is Baroness.
Oh.
Do you remember who Baroness is?
No.
Okay. You're going to hate me for this. But one time on this show, like maybe about a year ago or whatever, you wanted to talk about the band Baroness. Remember Baroness?
Vaguely. How long ago was this?
This was the band Baroness. It's about a year ago or whatever. And you ended up calling them Baroness on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Well, Baroness is on the cover of the new Decibel and all that.
So, oh, nice.
Thought maybe I would rib you with that. It's actually a really interesting issue as well, because not only do you have like some of the new upcoming brutal aggressive bands, you know, that we've had on the show, like Tomb Mold, Baroness is on the cover, but veterans Whitesnake, okay, and the Accused are also part of this. Accused I get, but Whitesnake, David Coverdale, in Decibel? Wow. that kind of threw me for a loop. And finally, I grabbed the new Tattoo magazine, the Bible of tattooing magazines. And I've never actually, I've bought issues of Inked and Rebel Ink in the past, but I never bought like the actual one called Tattoo, which is like the Rolling Stone of tattooing. But I had to get this one because Heavy Metal Model, Ladies of Metal Model, Stacy Castle, I'm a big fan of hers. I have a board of her on my Pinterest and everything. She's on the cover. I absolutely had to pick that up. And finally, we're going to get into some tunes because some cool records came across my desk. The new All Hell record, The Witch's Grail, will be available June 7th from Prosthetic Records. Oh my god, this band is so great. Like we've played them in the past. Oh, I would love to have them on if you're into that brutal, you know, that underground black death and roll type sound. You're definitely going to get into All Hell. Kind of on the other end as well, the Mighty Protector have a new record out now, courtesy of High Roller Records, called Summon the Hordes. Protector, they're a veteran band from Germany, and they follow, you know, in within the Sodom, Destruction, the Tankard type area, sound, Brotherhood, whatever you want to call them. I was cranking those two records earlier today, sharing them with my neighbors, once again. So how about we share some of this with our listeners? Let's go with something from that new All Hell record. Let's go with Tonight We Ride.
Tonight we ride under the sign of the most broken sky. We venture forth in the night, seeking to drink from the chalice of sin, embracing the peace we think. Under the banner of darkness we ride, blaze those at our side, trampling the weak, cutting down foes, death to all who oppose. Black steeds, black steel, cold
Available now from High Roller Records. That is the Teutonic Terror's Protector. Went with the title track for their latest record, Summon the Hordes. Go and check that out, because that is just some wicked shit. I was cranking that record today, and it brought me back to the old Destruction and Sodom days and all that fantastic stuff. More fantastic stuff, as we mentioned at the top of the hop, though we recently had the Manitoba Metal Fest. Headlining night one was the Mighty Tech Deathsters, whatever you want to call them, Origin. Here is a band, you know, we've had them on, veteran band, we've had them on before. And when we announced that they were coming into Winnipeg for the fest, I knew I had to once again sit down with vocalist Jason Kaiser, because the last time Origin came through, and this was a while ago. I'm sure you were on the show last time when we, you remember me going on and on about my favorite local venue here that's long gone now, the Zoo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I remember the last time I spoke with Mr. Kaiser was out in the parking lot of the Zoo. One of the many, many interviews that I've had in a venue parking lot. And it's like, okay, it's okay with everything that's going on in the Origin camp. It would be a good time to have him on, including their latest release, Biogenesis, Coming Into Existence, courtesy of Agonia Records. They were pushing that, and we'll let Mr. Kaiser do the speaking about it, because it is a very unique release. So without further ado, we'll let the men do the talking, and to get us there, let's drop a track from said record. This is Origin with Bleed As Me.
First and foremost, you might have to help me kind of here with the pronunciation of this, but you guys are promoting your... Well, it's going to be a kind of an interesting record, to say the least. A biogenesis coming into existence. How did I do with the pronunciation on that?
I think you did fine. I mean, abiogenesis, I would think, but I am not, you know, it's not my word. So whatever makes you happy.
Okay, we'll go
ahead. We want you to go
right
for
on,
it.
Right on. It's going to be available May 3rd at our good friends at Agonia, and I think Nuclear Blast are also doing something with it as well. Very kind of a more unique concept, not exactly your standard release. Kind of in your words, what's the rhyme and reason behind it?
Well, it's not even, it's not a standard origin release at all. It's more of like a retrospective of the work that Paul, the guitar player and founding member, did to get where he was to even start the band. It's the out of print three song demo coming into existence, re-released, and then a bunch of tracks that he, you know, wrote as he was starting to get into, you know, making this kind of music and, you know, doing the shit that eventually would form into what Origin became over the years. So it's more bringing back that old stuff. So the album itself actually is completely done by, that was Paul 100%. Like, none of the other Origin current Origin members are on it even. He just ran wild with it and set it up and put it out. So yeah, it's definitely for diehards. It's at, the sound is, you can tell it's not, you know, it's a 20 years ago sound. It's not a today sound, but that's, you know, a lot of, you know, fanatic Origin fans have been looking for like that old stuff for years and years and years, and the original, like the first pressing of that EP goes for hundreds of dollars online.
Wow.
Like, just for a CD for like hardcore collectors, not even counting like the cassette or whatever. No, and it's never been out on vinyl too, so we're putting it out on vinyl.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. We just don't have it today. But yeah, like I said, it comes out May 3rd. It's up for pre-order now, and it's mostly through Agonia. I don't think Nuclear Blast is doing anything with it.
No.
But, because it's not, you know, it's not like an official thing with the whole, you know, standard timeline. So,
Okay. He's had this old release and all that. How did it come about? Like, did the label come up to you guys and say, "Hey, we have to do something with this"?
I think it was a combination of the demand for that EP we were noticing. So often how much people were looking for it, and like, you know, people that want to have the complete collection couldn't find copies of it anywhere without it being, you know, on eBay. It was like way expensive, and you know, just the demand for it. And Paul's always wanted to have it be released, you know. It's just archival stuff that never saw the light of day, a lot of it. So I think it's just a combination of the two. It's just his project that he wanted to get out there. Mm-hmm. And you know, apparently there was demand. So
Right on. When you guys tour this, play it live, and like you guys have an extensive catalog that followed this, are you going to be able, how much of this release are you, because it is sort of a new release and all that, are you going to be able to squeeze some of the material in? Do you guys want to?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, I'm not even really sure what our set's going to be. Like, what exactly it will be. Like, these are songs that, like I said, since we didn't write them together, they're not, you know, second nature to us, so we can just pull out. Right off the bat, we'd have to like work to put them in, but I'm sure we can figure something out. But yeah, at the moment, we don't have anything it's specifically ready to go. But I mean, it's not really. If you ask me personally, it's a separate. Like we're not touring, you know, just for that CD or anything, for the Abiogenesis CD. So you know, it's not even. It's more of like a nice, like a treat than a part of like the discography. You know, it's a part of the discography, but it's more of, you know, a special little, like, asterisk, you know what I mean?
That's a good way of putting it, yeah. I like that, right on.
Because we're about, you know, we're the end of the touring cycle for the last album, so we'll be back writing for the next, you know, full Origin release as soon as possible.
Okay. And I guess you're maybe a year from now with that?
I mean, usually it runs in, like, very familiar cycles, but we've had a couple, like, setbacks and stuff this year as far as, not getting where we wanted to go as much as, you know, not touring as much as we wanted to and having some touring setbacks and stuff like that. So now that that's all over, you know, we might not be, you know, exactly on the 2-year mark or whatever before, but it's definitely in the forefront of our minds nowadays. So
right on. When this release came out, and yeah, you weren't part of the band and all that, it was just basically him.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you at the time? Do you recall?
As far as
musically and personally,
are you talking 1999?
Yeah. Like, were you just a fan? Did you know who the band was?
I'm the youngest member of this band, so 1999, I was what, 17, 18, okay. Something. I'm bad at math, though. But back then it was a whole different era for this kind of music back then. It was not nearly as widely accepted or, you know, levels of mainstream that it gets to be now. So it was, you know, like an underground pride kind of thing. And Origin was definitely at the forefront of that back then, because that was, you know, right when they started to get big in like 2000 when the self-titled came out, you know, and they were on Relapse. That was a golden age of death metal back then, of like 96 to like 2002. Everything that came out on like Relapse or like Century Media was you know, Destroy the Opposition, and, you know, Killing on Adrenaline, and, you know, the best Cephalic Carnage, the best Exhumed, the best Nile, the best Skinless, everything that was, like, the best albums of bands that are, you know, 90% of them still around today came out in that period, and they were definitely in that mix. And I was young. I wasn't in any touring acts until 2004, but I definitely knew who they were, and, yeah, it was... And they were, you know, they were the most extreme version of this kind of music at the time, because that was just like when they were typewriter fast and just, you know, nonstop and no groove whatsoever back then. So they were a sight to behold.
For sure. I'm glad you were kind of named when you dropped a bunch of these names, and you did mention Skinless.
Mm.
And you are connected to that band, and I'm sure I'd have a lot of some old-time listeners that would say, why didn't you mention this? Why didn't you talk about this? You had a cup of coffee with that band for at least one record, right?
Yeah, I was on the Trample the Weak, Heart of the Dead CD. And I was in that band. I toured with them from, I want to say, 04 to 2010, something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was a good chunk of time. And that's, you know, in a way, how I met John and these dudes. Because John was played drums for Skinless before me, and moved to the same area where Skinless was from in upstate New York, and just stayed there. But we were never in the band at the same time, but we lived in the same like town, so we just kind of like, you know. And it's a small circle of people. Like, you do this long enough, you eventually in a professional circuit, you eventually know everybody. So just the Skinless years were fun. It was a totally different style of stuff. I loved it. My older brother, Joe, who was the bass player, and ironically enough, was the one guy who wanted me in the band the least at the time, when Noah, the guitar player, was like trying to get me in it. That was a fun era. Mm-hmm. And they're still kicking in to some extent, but, you know, we're all getting old, and they all got families and shit now, so it's harder to be, like, on the road. But they just put out a new CD, I want to say, last year.
Yeah, it's killer for sure. When you were in Skinless, and I guess this would also still apply today in what your brother is doing today, what did Mother Kaiser think of all of this death metal and all this thrash and all that? What did she
cares? It's like a fucking 80s teen angst movie. Like, shut up, Mom, you don't understand. I think my mother came to one show I played once 10, 15 years ago or whatever, and didn't seem impressed. My dad, on the other hand, is a big fan of like everything that me or Joe or, you know, any of us has done. And I just was hanging out with him the other day, and he was trying to convince me to let him drive the tour van or tour bus or whatever. He's like, hey, you guys just relax, I'll drive the tour bus and we'll have a great time. He's like old-fashioned kind of dude. But yeah, he would come out. He came with us when we played on 70,000 Tons of Metal.
Oh.
Like, went on the cruise and just hung out. And
excellent.
Like, but I remember even before I even joined Skinless, like, one of my earliest memories of him just kind of being a fun dude to hang out with.
And he's also, my dad's like mostly deaf on top of it, so it doesn't even really get the whole grasp of it, but he loves coming out to the shows. But he drove skinless once to one of the, I want to say it was Milwaukee Metal Fest in like 1997 or something like that. And I rolled with him. I was really young, and I just remember like one of my earliest memories is my dad just drunk in the bleachers, passed out at Milwaukee Metal Fest, and I was kind of proud. I was like, this is appropriate for a death metal festival.
Right on. That's awesome. That's
amazing, dude.
Right on. Yeah, that's a very far cry. My dad is no way that anything like that. But
yeah, I think my mother doesn't approve, but okay, who cares what she thinks? I don't know.
I know, it's just when I bring it up because with both the sons doing this, and Decibel Magazine has the mothers and all that, and it's just like, I don't know, your mom I think would probably be a good candidate
for that. She's not down like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've never in any of the albums I've ever done, I've never been like a gross, like I've never done like gore lyrics or like, you know, porno gore lyrics or whatever. So I've never written anything that I don't think she would approve of, but I don't know. She'd find something toxic masculinity about it or something to complain about, and everybody would just roll their eyes and be annoyed.
Fair enough.
But she's cool. She just,
Right on. And finally, you have a degree in anthropology. Okay, just to kind of explain what someone that might not know what that is, like, what is that?
Well, it's a useless degree, basically. it's basically a study of culture and humanity and how we got to where we are by looking through our past and, you know, our development as human beings, you know, physically, linguistically, culturally, all that shit. And I went back, after my time at Skinless was done, I ended up going back to school and getting that and getting that degree. Then when that was over, I ended up joining Origin, so it all kind of panned out pretty easily. But I haven't done much with it, you have to say. But it's given me the opportunity. It's definitely a different perspective. If you get the opportunity to travel the world, you look at things 100% differently. And it's been interesting. I lived abroad for a year in Africa and India and stuff like that with it. And all metal dudes, you know, don't have to be, you know, drunk on PBR or two in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to be.
Right on. Does one help the other? Being a musician in a band help you with that? Does that help you with this?
In a way, I think it would help you more as a performer than in musicianship. I've never really considered myself personally that much of a musician, but in a performance kind of perspective, it could give you insight as to, you know, some primal roots of what people would respond to and how to, you know, build an audience or something like that, if you wanted to look at it that way. And there's I've always thought it was fascinating, and one of my major theses that I worked on when I was in it was, you know, studying the relationship between performer and audience and the threshold when one becomes the other, back and forth and everything like that, and in all different kinds of situations and around, you know, in different, you know, from like a guy spitting rhymes on the streets in Wellington to a dude playing the fucking sitar in India to whatever, to death metal concerts to fucking, you know, arenas or whatever like that, and how we respond to what we see, and, you know, the relationship between that, making what you see. But I'm just rambling at this point.
No, it makes sense.
And it's something that I always like was fascinated with and would work on and stuff, but I never did anything. I'm planning on working on my radical autobiography, and had a lot of that kind of bullshit in it.
Oh, actually, I think that would work. Mm-hmm. I think that would work.
Yeah, I've picked up a couple stories from here and there over the past 15 years I've been doing this, so.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. No doubt. And when they make the Dirt biopic afterwards. After you write your book and all that, who would you want to play Jason Kaiser in that?
I mean, it would have to be, if I'm old when that comes out, the current me would have to be Tim Robbins, obviously. And then my flashback me would have to be Macaulay Culkin or one of his brothers. Those are the two people I get busted on all the time throughout my entire life, or apparently looking like I don't see the resemblance whatsoever. So yeah, somehow I would make them be involved in it. But Macaulay Culkin's like 2 years older than me, so I don't know. I don't know who I get to be. It depends on who's young and vibrant in those days and make me look good.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Hey guys, it's the Stallion, and when I'm contemplating suicide, I throw on The Shining Wizards because nothing makes me feel better than knowing I'm not one of these four grown adults, virgin fucking marks, discussing a fake wrestling product.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Only three good things you need in life: sex, beer, and Pure Rock Radio.
We're not just going to shoot the bastard. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those bastards by the bushel.
as mentioned in our quick chat with Mr. Kaiser, he mentioned his time and his work in the band Skinless with his brother for the Trample the Weak, Hurdle the Dead. And there's no way, okay, that we would have been able to do an interview and an episode about Origin and Mr. Kaiser without throwing the Wicked title track to that record that he did so much with. So yeah, in the meantime, I believe Origin will be starting a new tour if they're not already out on the road now. But in the meantime, be sure to pick up a copy of Abiogenesis, A Coming into Existence, for a little bit of insight into, you know, the past. Origin's origin, shall we say, and just kind of where all of this cool stuff comes from. Check it out, check it out. We almost lost the Ozman this year.
Yeah, how many times?
Okay, but I have to admit, when they said that he was having some problems and these dates were going to have to be pushed back for next year, and he's not getting any younger, and there have been a lot of people, okay, that haven't lived as hard, you know, of a lifestyle, a self-inflicted lifestyle that the Ozman has. So I was getting really concerned, like, oh my God, we are going to lose Ozzy now. Fortunately, that never happened. Okay. And it looks like everything is going to be fine. He's going to be okay. It's just like I said, those live appearances have been pushed back, and he seems to be doing all right. Recently, though, his son, Jack, offered up some details, you know, surrounding the injury and exactly what happened. And you don't want to laugh, okay? Especially if this is true or not. I'm still kind of, I don't know if I buy this 100%. But really, like, you've heard what his son's explanation as to his injury was?
Yeah.
Okay, apparently, he apparently had tripped over his shoe getting back into bed after peeing. Okay, that was
of all things.
For starters, like, imagine, okay, if this is what triggered a heart attack or something and actually killed him.
Yeah, of all things, a fucking shoe.
Yeah, you know, and this is something, like, we've all done. We've all had to get up in the middle of the night to go pee and all that. I'm sure we've all stubbed our toe or something. Oh, fuck, motherfucker, and all that. But, you know, it's never put us down for the count.
Right.
And all that. So it's like, whoa. Like, I'm sure that's happened to you.
Oh, yeah, I've tripped over lots of things, particularly a shoe. I have done shoes, but it hasn't, like, you know, ruined my day.
Right.
But for the Ozman, it's ruined his day.
Oh, yeah. And another thing that kind of makes me go, I don't know if I totally buy this. Like, why would you make this public? Because this is absolutely ridiculous. So are they just going for some laughs here or something, or like?
I think what it was is, like, Jack, his son, was mentioning it on a podcast.
Okay.
And they were talking about the shows and how he was bummed, how he had to push back his shows, and then this happened, and then he had to push them back more. Mm-hmm. So So, yeah, I think that's what happened. I think that's how that got brought up. But, yeah, that's fucking true.
Jeez. Imagine that. And this takes me back here when my daughter, little Snowy, she was still living at home, and I first started taking up skateboarding and all that, and she had stepped on my skateboard, and it was a total reversal. Okay, she's like, "Dad, put your skateboard away." You know, like you're supposed to say to the kids, "Pick up your shit," and all that, which that's another thing as well. Like, as parents, and someday I imagine you will be one, you know, we always have to tell the kids, pick up your shit. Okay, I imagine he tripped over his own shoe. So he couldn't even give his kids shit for it. Unless it was Sharon's shoe. Sharon, pick up your beeping shoe. It's one of these days, one of your fucking shoes are going to kill me. Well, I guess it almost did. Like I said, you try not to laugh, but he's okay. He's okay. The Ozman's going to be around for a little bit longer, and hopefully, a couple more dates can be added to the Florida and across Canada areas as well. I want to see him one more time. I've only seen Ozzy once solo and once with Black Sabbath. And that is absolutely not enough times. Hopefully another band that we see soon is in tonight's Indie Spotlight.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this Indie Spotlight.
Okay, you pop quiz.
Yes.
Do you know where Edmonton is?
Edmonton, Canada or New Jersey?
It is in Canada, yeah. Okay. Yes, Edmonton. Edmonton, the capital of Alberta up here in Canada, is the home place of a wicked new thrash band called Tessitura. Their latest, well, I guess it was their debut indie release, Underneath the Unearth the Underworld, came across my desk, and I gave that a spin, and I was impressed. Like, this is some cool stuff that I think our listeners would kind of dig and get behind and want to check out more for themselves. So I tapped them, and so in this week's Indie Spotlight, we are going to Alberta, which is basically the Texas of Canada, Edmonton to be exact, for Tessitura with their tune Tessitura. Yeah, actually, I kind of like how that kind of rolls off the tongue. Tessitura with Wounds of the Righteous.
Revenge is the to kill for me.
stuff, great stuff. Once again, that is Tessitura in today's Indie Spotlight from their recently released Unearth the Underworld. You can check it out, www.tessiturametal.com. That's their website, and Tessitura is spelled T-E-S-S-I-T-U-R-A. As well as facebook.com/tessiturametal. Great stuff. Go and check them out. Well, you, with the pretty all over your face, thank you so much for joining me. I know you're kind of struggling with some sinuses or something there. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. No, I was hanging out with my friend whose cat just had kittens.
Okay.
And I was hanging out with those kittens, and I'm allergic to cats, but I couldn't help it because they were cute and they are fluffy, and I was like, oh my god, kitties. And it just had to be like kitties everywhere, just so many kitties.
What is with metalheads and cats?
I don't know. I really don't. But that's what's going on. That's why I sound like this.
Well, you know what? I'm just excited to hear your voice and all that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
For joining in the festivities tonight. We'll go out with a really cool track about... I don't know how ironic it would be, but it almost proved to be prophetic. Onslaught has the mighty Onslaught, former Radioactive Metal alumni Onslaught, and a favorite band of Snowy's when he was a teenager. Onslaught have new material out, including the first single, Perfect Day to Die, not dedicated to Ozzy. This week, as we go out, people can check us out at facebook.com/radmetal, instagram.com/radmetal666. And as a reminder, of course, tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal was brought to you by True Cavalt Coffee, which I'm going to be going downstairs and refreshing my Motorhead mug right away with some. Check it out, www.truecavaltcoffee.com. Great stuff. Metal product for metalheads by metalheads. And of course, be one of the cool kids, shall we say, and be the first to hear Radioactive Metal every week, every Thursday night on Pure Rock Radio, pureRockRadio.net, where we are quote unquote live. And of course, Radioactive Metal is proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, your one-stop shopping for all sorts of cool podcasts and everything that you could want. So that's about it. I know it's getting a little late in your area, so we're going to be on our way. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a back in time episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Kareen.
And you made it in one piece, right on. Signing off.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal. Come on, winds of